the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out rolls on from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I want to remind you this show is sponsored by Francetic Tax. You got IRS mail you've been putting off? Well, Paul Francetic offers a free, confidential gambler tax consultation. Visit GamblerTaxHelp.com or call 262-752-6992. Back here on the program, we are hours away from the Masters getting going at Augusta National. And if you haven't read the write-up on VSiN.com, you're doing your betting a disservice. Go to the website, check out Wes Reynolds' article. He does this every week on every event, but none is more valuable than this week with the Masters coming up. And Wes joins us now to talk about everything coming up in the Masters. Wes, how are we feeling, man, with this big event upon us?
Ready to go. I got a little fix today watching the par three, which, of course, you know, it's not about Kevin Hart and some of the celebrity people than Jason Kelce. It's about the kids, you know, and that's what it should be about at the par three today. But as we speak, I'm actually downloading my Masters app because, like you mentioned, we're hours away and I want to wake up and see some guys on the leaderboard early.
Smart. Do it now. Don't be like me on baseball's opening day, spending 35 minutes figuring out how to transfer my MLB TV to the ESPN app. I felt really old in that moment. Smart move to get ahead, Wes. So as I mentioned, the article's awesome. You have course history. You have who's hot coming in. Some of the guys that you're targeting, right? Some of the bomb plays that make sense. We'll cover some of that here, but I do encourage everyone to read it over at VSiN.com and then listen to Long Shots. Wes, Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown, they do a fantastic job every week breaking down the courses and all the events, and we'll probably get a few more this week with the Masters here. So let's start with the top of the board. Wes, you're not going to target Scottie Scheffler, who at 5-1, 6-1, depending where you shop. My first thought as a novice betting golf that doesn't follow the sport that much, man, that feels like a discount on Scheffler, but there's got to be a reason why, and that's why a lot of you guys are turning to Jon Rahm. Second shot on the board to win this event. Talk to me about passing on Scottie and backing Rahm.
Yeah, just one mention for Scottie, who, of course, brings his second son to Augusta this week as they were out in the par three contest walking around today. It's just Scottie, the approaches aren't what they were the last 3 years where he's number one on planet Earth. And then the round one scoring average where he led the tour, he actually led for all four rounds in terms of scoring average, is three shots worse. So he's been getting off to those bad starts this year, and you kind of worry, okay, if he does that here, even though he's won here twice, is he's going to be too far behind? But another former champion is Jon Rahm, who won it in 2023, and then when he came back and defended, did not play that well because he had just joined LIV, so getting all the questions and, you know, did I make the right decision? Did he have some misgivings? But now he's coming in, he's got to win, and if you consider his five starts on LIV this year, 2-2-1-5-2, that's an average finish of 2.4. in five events this year. I don't care what course you're playing on. If you're playing halfway across the world in the middle of the night, that's still impressive. And the fact that he's leading the tour in greens and regulation, he's fourth in scrambling, fourth in distance. I think Jon Rahm might be playing with a little bit of chip on his shoulder because it's kind of like he saw his ultimate European rival Rory win last year and win the career Grand Slam. Nothing more would please Jon Rahm, I think, than to have Rory have to put the jacket on him in Butler Cabin. So there's that little bit of psychology there, and plus the fact that his game is in really good form.
Yeah, Rory, by the way, another person I'm staying far away from. We played a clip earlier in the show. He's like, yeah, normally I really look forward to this event all year. Now I just kind of don't care because he won. Either he's going to play so free and loose, he's the best golfer on the course by a mile, or he may not make the cut, it sounds like, based on what I heard from his mindset. Now let's talk about a few golfers on your card that we both have in common. Xander Schauffele, 18-1, Cam Young, 23-1. What stood out about those two guys right around the same spot on the board?
Yeah, with Xander, and also if you might want to play him in a placement market, like a top 10 or something, because he's got 34 career majors and he's been in the top 10 in half of them. So 17 to 34, that's a pretty good batting average when it comes to that. But last year, he just had an injury-riddled season. Like, he got off to a slow start. He had that issue with the rib injury, didn't really win until late in the fall in Japan. You know, had some okay finishes, but wasn't quite at the top of his game that he was in 2024 when he won both the PGA and the Open Championship. started off slow again this year in the first two events, but then three top sevens in his last four starts, including a third at the Players. Inside the top 10 here at Augusta, five of the last 7 years. I think he's kind of peaking at the right time, and I think the price still in the mid to high teens is fair on him. And of the guys that are kind of like those top few to several guys on the odds board, I feel like he's getting the least discussion, and I think that's just the way he likes it.
Wes Reynolds is our guest, VSiN betting analyst at Wes Reynolds 1 on X, and also Long Shots, the podcast. Him, Kelly Bidlin, Matt Brown, previewing the Masters. Go check it out before the event starts in just a few hours. You know, Matt Fitzpatrick, I feel like, is a name that a lot of people are in on this year, and I think he's been playing pretty good golf. Minwoo Lee, 35-1, another guy right around that same spot. Who were you targeting outside of those before you ended up coming down to those two guys?
Yeah, those were my mid-range guys, Cameron Young, Matt Fitzpatrick, Minwoo Lee, who doesn't come in with the victory like he did last year in Houston. But speaking of consistency, go back to last September, six top tens in his last 12 starts. And then Matt Fitzpatrick, I thought, showed a lot of resiliency when he lost that Players Championship to Cam Young, who was good to us that week. Winning the Valspar the very next week, and Fitz is just really striping it with the irons. This is probably the best he's hit him in the last few years. So he's getting a lot of buzz this week, and he's never really been a contender here. Like, he's always had solid finishes in the top 20 or whatnot, but he's never really been right there at the end. I think this might be the year where that experience finally comes in and you actually see him contend finally at Augusta.
You mentioned Patrick Reed. I'm on him as well. The track record there, he's playing good golf coming in. It's a huge number. Were you surprised the number was as big as 35-45-1 on Reed?
I think it went up a little bit, Dustin, because he hasn't played in about the last month, because he's playing semi full time on the DP World Tour. Of course, he left LIV and doesn't get to resume his PGA Tour return until like the end of August after the FedEx Cup events are over, with the goal of getting full time the next year. But he's been playing on the DP World Tour, and he's got two wins already this year, one in Dubai, one in Qatar, and also finished second in Bahrain. And he's just a guy. You look at the stats, he really doesn't stand out in one thing, even though his around the green and his putting and his short game is still one of the best in the world. But he's never really up there for off the tee or on approach, but he just knows how to get around the place. Top four here in two of the last 3 years. When we were watching last year, when it came down to Rory and Rose, and Ludvig Åberg was right there, one off the lead. Then all of a sudden you see Patrick Reed up there on the leaderboard. It's like, where'd he come from? You know, he was never a factor until he was. And that's happened here a couple times with Patrick Reed. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him there on Sunday. I think he's in a good frame of mind, too, because I think he's happy that, you know, he's kind of done with LIV and he's focused on getting back to the PGA Tour. So I think he's in a better frame of mind this time around than he's been in the last few years.
How about a long shot? You got a guy listed that I have listed, who Matt Youmans has listed. I think he's the trendy one, but I think it makes sense just based on his play and his style and being a lefty. Talk to me about Akshay Bhatia, what you like about him at 65-1.
Yeah, the lefty Akshay. And lefties, by the way, have done well here at the Masters in years past. Go all the way back to Mike Weir, Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson. Because you can take different angles. You can miss fairways here and still be okay because the rough is not very thick. And the fairways are so wide that it's kind of hard to miss them. But even if you do, you can take different angles into the pins that maybe some of the other guys can't, being a left-handed player. And actually, just last month, won the biggest event of his young career. He won the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Orlando and ran down Daniel Berger on the back nine, eventually won that playoff. So that's a big boy event that had Scotty and Rory and Xander and a lot of the big names in that field. And he won that thing. And he's eighth on approach. He's 10th for putting. It probably was a mistake a couple weeks ago. It was partially a nod to his heritage and partially a nod to one of his sponsors, Hero, to go play at the Hero Indian Open, where he missed the cut pretty badly. But that's a really tough course over there at DLF. It's not the ideal prep. He went over there. But if you ignore that and just kind of throw that result out, the rest of the form looks great since Phoenix, where he finished third. He was sixth at Pebble Beach. Remember when he led by five shots at one point on Saturday and then just couldn't get it home as Colin Morikawa got the win. But I think Akshay, I am surprised to see him at this number. And you're starting to see it dip a little bit. But I thought he would be in the 40s and not the 60s this week.
All right, before I let you go real quick, we haven't had a debutante win the event since Fuzzy Zeller 1979. Who do you like as a play to be the top debutante at the Masters, first time playing in this event?
Yeah, my fellow Hoosier, rest in peace, Fuzzy Zeller. Jacob Bridgman, the second choice on the board, who won the closest to a Masters prep earlier this year when he won the Genesis Invitational at Riviera. You've seen a lot of guys over the years win at Riviera and also win at Augusta. Phil, Bubba Watson, Adam Scott, Dustin Johnson, Yuten Matsuyama. There have been so many over the last 10 to 15 years that have won at both places. So Chris Goddard is the favorite, and rightfully so. He's won three times over the last 10 months. But I think Jacob Bridgman is going to figure out these greens. He's number two, I believe, on the PGA Tour right now for strokes gained putting. So he's figured out the greens pretty much everywhere he's been, and he's not finished worse than 18th in any event here in 2026.
He's Wes Reynolds. Read him over at VSiN.com. Listen to Long Shots, our golf podcast here on VSiN with him, Kelly Bidlin, and Matt Brown, and follow him on X at WesReynolds1. The article was amazing. It's great every week. Good luck with the bets. This is the week, Wes. We're getting it done.
Thank you, pal. Looking forward to it.
All right. We're going to win with Schauffele. That's my call. Schauffele's winning this thing because I'm on it. Wes is on it. I think Matt was on it earlier. That's our guy, Xander Schauffele, this week, I believe. The NBA and NHL playoffs are almost here, and VSiN has free tools to help you bet smarter right now. No subscription needed, free betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, plus free MLB and NBA prop projections. If you want everything we have to offer, you can sign up, become a VSiN Pro for just $9.99 for your first 30 days, or save 50% with an annual subscription. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe for more information.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. This show is sponsored by Francetic Tax. If you're a gambler dealing with IRS letters or taxes on winnings, Paul Francetic can help. Get a free confidential consultation at GamblerTaxHelp.com. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. The Oklahoma City with a win over the Clippers on Wednesday night, 128-110. They become your one seed officially in the Western Conference postseason. Oklahoma City covered the 8.5-point spread as that game went over the total of 224 and a hook. Chet Holmgren, 30 points, 4 rebounds in the contest. You know, Chet Holmgren's an interesting name to bring up because Victor Wembanyama missing the action on Wednesday night, well, all of a sudden his candidacy for these postseason awards, including Defensive Player of the Year, where he's a minus 4,000 favorite, it's up in the air. I believe he could only miss one more game, potentially, and then he's eliminated from being eligible for the award. Chet Holmgren, 8.5-1 in the market. Is that something you want to consider right now with Wemby missing? And also, San Antonio no longer competing for the one seed. Are we sure they risk him versus having him fully healthy once we get to the playoffs so that they can once again take care of business against the Thunder, hopefully en route to a Western Conference championship? Atlanta had a chance to clinch a playoff spot and win the Southeast, but they lost to Cleveland earlier tonight. Final score in that one was 122-116. As Donovan Mitchell, 31 points once again for the Cleveland Cavaliers. A really strong night from him. You know what's interesting? In a losing effort, there's a lot of stuff that jumps out from Atlanta. One, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, 25 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He's been playing really good basketball lately. And this Atlanta team, there's not a lot of star power. Like, Jalen Johnson is in that tier below stars. Not superstars, but like stars. He's like a really good player. Contributes across the board. But Atlanta's so solid. You just wonder if they can run into the right team and the right matchups. Could their depth matter in a 7-game series where they've got guys like Kuminga coming off the bench? I like this Hawks team a lot. I like the roster construction. I just don't know if they have enough upside. They have enough potential there with a superstar who we see that in the NBA playoffs. You need a superstar who can take over a series. The Dallas Mavericks earlier in the night I believe it was a loss to the Suns, right? Yeah. 112-107. We were on the under. Phoenix wins that one. Dallas covers the 12.5. We go under the 233.5. That thing ballooned up pretty high to 233 and a hook. But the story is Cooper Flagg, because Cooper Flagg It's very obvious that Dallas is trying to get him the Rookie of the Year award. He finished this one in 32 minutes on a back-to-back, 11 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. You wonder if maybe not having the scoring output he's had like he's had recently, if that's going to impact him in the betting market. It really didn't. He's still a minus 290 favorite for Rookie of the Year. Con Knipl is 2-1, the only two players listed to win this award right now in the sports book. And unfortunately, I think it's correct. And I think it stinks, but it's true. Like, sometimes you just look, Cooper Flagg's a better overall player than Con Knipl. Simple as that. When he plays, he's more likely to put up a monster stat line than Knipl, even though Knipl has some limitations because he's got guys in that lineup for Charlotte that take some of the shine off him, that he's not able to cook like Flagg is without all those guys in the lineup that have been injured or traded away from the Mavericks this year. It's unfair, it feels, for Knipl because it's like, what else can he do? It's just, he's not as good as Cooper Flagg, and unfortunately, he learned that the hard way by going to Duke and playing with him, because you have to wonder, if Con Knipl went somewhere for his 1 year of college, how different would he have looked on draft boards where he's the only guy cooking? He doesn't have to work in another player and Cooper Flagg, who can be ball dominant at times and make so many plays offensively. Con Knipl might end up being the number one pick had he played with anyone other than Cooper Flagg a year ago at Duke. So that's where we stand. That's the big stuff as far as the NBA is currently concerned. It was a short slate on Wednesday. There's a few more games on Thursday, but we're just kind of cruising into the playoffs here. Things aren't going well from a betting perspective. Every angle I look at, I bet unders, they go over. I bet overs, they go under. The player prop angles that we had all year long, and we had a really good stretch. I want to say it was like mid-January into mid-March. We were doing well with the player props. It has completely come to a halt. So I'm reevaluating the process, but I'm still going to have plays here. I mean, we're sitting here every night. We got games on. The job is to find action, to find games, to find winners. That is still the objective here. Now, as far as baseball is concerned, baseball is starting to pick up here for us, doing a little bit better the last 3 or 4 days. And some things jumped out to me from earlier on the baseball card on Wednesday. For starters, do you know who leads the league in home runs? St. Louis's Jordan Walker, 5th home run. He had 6 last year. Okay, Jordan Walker was a superstar prospect, right? This is a guy that was hyped up a couple seasons ago by the Cardinals, and he just hasn't lived up to the billing so far. That doesn't mean the potential is not there. It's still there, and it appears he was just called up too early. He wasn't ready for major league pitching. 6 home runs last year. He's tied for the major league lead with Baldwin, DeLauder, and Langeliers with 5 home runs on the season. As St. Louis did take care of business against Washington, we had the team total. It took till the 9th inning to get home, but we did cash that one as they won 6-1 on the road against Miles Michaelis, who I just think we're betting team totals against him as long as he's in the rotation for the Washington Nationals. Speaking of the rotation, I just want to bring this to light in a losing effort. The Padres beat the Pirates 8-2, but it appears Mitch Keller is back. Mitch Keller was not good a year ago for the Pirates. 6 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 4 strikeouts earlier against San Diego. That is huge for the length and the depth of that rotation for the Pirates. Plus, he's a veteran to be slotted right behind Skeens with some of those younger live arms that are in that rotation. I mean, that is so huge. And that's why I think Pittsburgh right now at 50-1 is live for the National League pennant. I know it's crazy because they'd eventually have to go through the Dodgers, but why are they so different from Detroit from the last 2 years? The Tigers always had a chance because they had Skubal. And if they could line up a series with Skubal throwing 3 times, that's almost like locking in 3 wins. It's a bit different when you're facing the Dodgers versus the American League like Detroit was doing, but you get where I'm coming from. Who knows? Pittsburgh could add at the deadline. They just locked up Connor Griffin to a long-term deal. They gave him the biggest contract in Pirates history, signing him for 9 years, buying out his arbitration seasons, and then buying out a few years after and making sure he's happy. We'll see what the 19-year-old ends up being, especially this year, but I just like the energy. I like the vibe of the Pittsburgh Pirates, even though they lost to San Diego earlier today on the diamond. We had a tough one with the under in Kansas City and Cleveland, 10-2 the final score. We had under 7.5. Cole Reagans was knocked out, got hit by a comebacker in the first, and we would have cashed the under, but I believe it was in the 8th inning. Angel Martinez, who went 4-for-5, he hit a grand slam, which killed the under, which sent this thing over, 10-2 the final score. Bit concerning with Brian Wu in Seattle and this offense not doing anything at Texas the last few games. Mackenzie Gore was phenomenal as Texas won 3-0. They were plus 104, the Rangers at home. So they were a dog in this game. Gore went 5 innings, 1 hit, no earned runs, and 9 strikeouts for Texas. Just an awesome performance by him in a huge spot in division against the team that's favored to win it. And right now, Seattle's not living up to the hype. There was a lot of postseason hype on Seattle. We were on this team last year. We got a good number on them, 12-1 to win the pennant. We rode that all the way to the end. We eventually hedged off of it. But I don't think that this front office really calculated how much they would miss the bop of Eugenio Suarez at third. Because Julio Rodriguez, I heard Mitch and Pauly talking about this on Follow the Money earlier, and they're dead right. Julio Rodriguez is a frustrating player. He has all the potential to be a 40-40 guy, but he disappears for long periods of time. He is not a superstar. He's not someone who can carry your lineup. I don't really trust him. Some history was made earlier today in Colorado as the Rockies swept Houston. They outscored the Astros 23-9. Sixth win of the year for the Rockies. They had one sweep all of last year, and they didn't get their sixth win until May. Okay, we're barely in April, and Colorado already has their sixth win of the year. They're a bit punchier. You got to give them credit. They're a little bit better, but they should be. It's younger guys improving. And Kyle Freeland on the bump. This is a guy who over the last few years, up until last year, was tremendous at home and bad on the road, which you wouldn't expect for a pitcher who throws in Coors Field. But he's a Colorado native. He understands how to pitch in altitude. Last year was a year where he wasn't good at home. Well, he just shut down the Astros, a team that crushes left-handed pitching, as they won 9-1. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Lorenzen today. Sorry, it was Lorenzen today. Not Kyle Freeland. Got my days confused. Yesterday was Freeland, which I don't believe went well. So I take back everything I just said. Shohei Ohtani was on the hill earlier today against Toronto. Losing effort. Dylan Cease and Toronto get the win 4-3. Ohtani, 6 innings, 4 hits, no earned runs, 2 strikeouts. 8 strikeouts and 1 earned run in 5 innings for Dylan Cease. He's got a chance at Cy Young. He was around 20-1 coming into the matchup. You always worry about him with the walks. You worry about him because he has a propensity to get knocked around at times. But he is playing his home games in a dome. Maybe that could help him out just a little bit here. Right now in the betting market, you can get Dylan Cease at 20-1 still. That does feel like a potential value on him. And that was the big stuff. I guess the biggest concerning thing that happened earlier today is Minnesota topped Detroit with Framber Valdez on the hill, 8-6. Valdez allowed 8 earned runs on the road at Minnesota in cold weather conditions. That is not a good sign for a guy who was brought in to be not the number 2, but like the 1B. He's not as good as Skubal, but he's certainly considered an ace. Didn't look like that earlier today against the Twinkies. All right, we'll talk Masters when we return on Cashing Out.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out is sponsored by Francetic Tax. If gambling winnings turned into a tax problem, don't ignore it. Paul Francetic can walk you through your options. Free consultation at gamblertaxhelp.com. Welcome back into the program. I'm Dustin Sweetelson with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch the show, SiriusXM, Channel 158, YouTube TV, the Visa Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. We've covered a lot of ground. The Masters is hours away. Get ready. Get your bets in. It's the most fun time to just follow golf and be on top of it. Even someone like me, who is not a big golf guy. I'll get into it for the majors just because I want to bet on it. I want to find some potential big plus money plays, which we have a few that we'll talk about here. But the Masters, as I get older, maybe it's nostalgia. Maybe it's bandwidth. Maybe it's just the routine of knowing this time of year, there is one isolated sports event that everyone is locked in on. And I can just respect, you know, as we wind down in the NBA and these games are so meaningless and these teams do not care and the product is such garbage. We've got a group of golfers that would literally sell an organ if it meant giving them an edge to win the Masters, to get a green jacket. That's how much this one isolated event means. It's bigger than any other event in the sport. And you can make a case it's the biggest event or biggest event we have in all of sports. I mean, it's not, but you can make the case, get where I'm coming from. Like I always joke, if you polled a bunch of random dudes and you were like, you can go to the moon or you can go to the Masters, I feel like you're leaning more votes towards the Masters. Also, it might be more exclusive to get into these days. I think the moon might be more accessible than going to the Masters at this point in time. With that, I want to replay some of the best sound bites from earlier in the day here on VSiN because you had awesome, great guests. All of our hosts that cover golf do a tremendous job as well, and I can't emphasize this enough. You go to VSiN.com, the hub with all the Masters stuff, the Masters guide, all the bets, the breakdowns, Wes Reynolds' article. It's so good. And download Long Shots wherever you get your podcasts, because they'll be covering the Masters through each round. And that's invaluable information with those guys and their ability to target winners, not just outrights. We're talking about top 10s and top 20s and some of the matchups out there. It's not just about looking at those big numbers and who's going to win the event outright. So with that, let's now hit Night Bites, where we go back through the day and bring you the best sound bites from earlier.
At 4th-and-1 at midfield, you're up 11. The Raiders really can't do anything.
But they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Night Bites.
Night Bites. All right, let's begin with the show that airs before me, as Matt Humans is one of the sharpest dudes when it comes to betting on golf. VSiN Primetime is the name of the show. Let me do the math. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And, you know, Colin Morikawa was a golfer that I really wanted to back this week. And you look at just some of the track records for him, right? He won at Pebble. He withdrew from the Players with a back injury. He didn't play the Texas Open. So despite having a really good run in his career at the Masters and having a game that fits this kind of mold you're looking for, right? A pure iron striker. He's super accurate with his mid to long irons. Great on difficult approach shots. The problem is he healthy? We saw him win a few weeks ago at the Pebble. Can he do it again? Do you believe in him? Is he someone you want on your card? And I thought Matt Humans laid it out pretty smartly of why I'm not betting him and why Matt Humans is not betting Morikawa this week.
Fade him in matchups. He's a lost cause this week. Look, you listen to that interview too, and you think about hockey players who are out there playing with broken ribs and all. And this guy's a golfer. And he's like, yeah, just some other parts of the body don't feel right. Yeah, toughen up. Jesus. Get out there and play golf this week. It's a major. And look, I've had back issues too. And you go out and play golf and you're sore, but you can fight through it. There are ways. I can't believe I bet on this guy, and I never want to bet on him again.
Oh, I thought Matt didn't bet on him. Oh, I didn't realize he bet on Morikawa. Coming into the event, before I realized he's been dealing with the back injuries and hearing the clip that Matt referenced there, I want a Morikawa on my card. What I am going to do with him, though, because I want a little bit of it, I took him to be the first round leader. Because I feel like if he's going to play well and his game's going to translate, it's going to be for a round, maybe two, and then he'll fade away. And we'll see how that plays out. But I just took a little flyer, a long shot on Morikawa to be the first round leader at 35-1. You can catch VSiN Primetime at 7 p.m. Eastern time right before our show. Now let's go to prop points. 1 p.m. Eastern, it's Jeff Erickson, Nick Whalen. They got you covered in the midday for an hour. And they had the great Gary Williams on, who's covered golf for a really long time. And he talked about looking at guys with height over flight as far as Augusta National is concerned.
To me, I value height more than flight. Higher ball hitters in very, very firm conditions who are great iron players have a particular advantage. And so players who I already had on my kind of top line, I would amplify their chances even more. Someone like Cam Young, who not easy. Very few players have done the Players Masters double, but he's right. His toolkit is right in the wheelhouse for what the examination might require. And you know, look, my top line is Rahm, it's Bryson, it's Xander Schauffele, it's Scheffler, it's Rory. You know, you can add a player or two, and I'm not going to push back on you. All those guys have the toolkit if it gets really, really, really fast.
That's the great Gary Williams on earlier from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. Yeah, I mean, he's right. Like, what are we looking for here? You want iron play to help gain strokes, but the height aspect, it's a way to get the ball to land on these greens because that ball is going to want to dance. It's going to move. It's going to jump around like we don't really see at any other course throughout the tour. So the height on the ball flight, because you're going to need to approach those, need high approach shots so that ball lands firmly on the greens and doesn't trickle away and lead to more strokes in your game. So all those guys that can loft it up high are the ones we're looking to target this week at Augusta National. Now let's go to VSiN by the Book, 7 a.m. Eastern time, as Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis, they got you covered every weekday morning. They had a guest on, Brendan DeJong, who talked about John Rahm and why he is his favorite play this week.
I'd go John Rahm. I'd take John Rahm on that one. Another guy that's won here. It comes in some wonderful form. I looked at some stat the other day. He's never finished worse than 11th on LIV Golf. And I understand that it's obviously a limited field, but that's still very impressive. I sat in on John Rahm's press conference yesterday as well. Sounds like he's brimming full of confidence and feels like his game's in a better spot than it has been in a long time. And I think that John Rahm is, like, to me, I think he comes in as the favorite. Just with a little bit of unknown with both Rory and Scotty, I think John Rahm is the favorite this week.
John Rahm, 9-1 in the market. He is the second shot on the board. Spencer Aguiar likes him. Wes Reynolds likes him. A lot of people are on John Rahm this week, and I understand it. It's all there, the track record. He's red hot on the LIV Tour. One win, three runners-ups in five events. He's won this event before, right? He's a guy that you can trust. He's a guy that knows how to navigate not just the physical approach, but the mental approach to winning at such a draining course. He's not on my ticket. It has nothing to do with him not being a good play. It's just I'm going a little bit deeper down the board. So here are the plays that I have for outright to win the Masters. First, I'm on Ludvig Åberg. Elite ball striker. I know he had the meltdown last year. Still finished seventh. He's now played the course a couple times. And I think that experience is going to show itself because a young golfer should be getting better second, third, fourth time going to a course. I'm on Xander Schauffele at 13-1. Very consistent at Augusta. Feels like he's building towards a big win soon. He was injured a year ago, but top five times in his last seven Masters appearances, was third at the Players, was fourth at the Valspar, so I like Xander Schauffele here. I'm also backing Cam Young at 20-1. Number three player in the world, six major top tens in 4 years. Last two Players winners were Scheffler and Rory. Well, Cam Young just won the Players. Those two guys won the Masters the same year that they won the Players. And when I heard Kelly Bidlin, my bearded brother was also on him, I jumped in on Cam Young at 20-1. I'm taking a flyer on Patrick Reed. I'm hearing conflicting guys, whether they like him or don't, but at 35-1, with his track record, a 28 Masters winner, right? Finished top four in two of the last three. He knows how to deal with this course. I love Reed 35-1 to win it outright. Then my long shots, Russell Henley, 55-1. Georgia kid, good iron hitter, very accurate with his short irons. Fourth in bogey avoidance. Not a ton of distance, but the irons are great, and I value that more than the bomb shots off the tee at the Masters. Then finally, Akshay Bhatia, 65-1. He's a young lefty. He won recently. He's got a ton of upside. He seems to be the long shot that a lot of people I trust are backing, so I'm going to ride with them as well. My first round leader bets, I like John Rahm, 19-1, so I will have a little piece of Rahm there, at least as the first round leader. Cam Young at 25-1. Patrick Reed at 30-1. Colin Morikawa at 30-1 to lead this thing after the first round. My top 10 plays, Cam Young, plus 150. Justin Rose, plus 240. Xander Schauffele, plus 140. Patrick Reed, plus 220. And that rounds out my top 10 bets. Tonight, Cashing Out is brought to you by Francetic Tax Resolution. This is the part of betting most people don't think about until it's too late. The IRS taxes your wins, and if something's off, those letters start showing up fast. Paul Francetic has spent over 20 years helping gamblers fix tax issues and deal directly with the IRS. He's offering a free gambler tax problem consultation so you can understand where you stand and what to do next. Call 262-752-6992 or go to gamblertaxhelp.com. That's gamblertaxhelp.com.
Here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out is sponsored by Francetic Tax. Quick reminder for bettors, the IRS taxes your wins, not your net. Paul Francetic has helped gamblers for over 20 years. Free consultation at gamblertaxhelp.com. Cashing Out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've had an awesome show tonight. If you missed any part of it, go back and download wherever you get your podcast, whether it was Wes Reynolds earlier this hour with his preview of the Masters. We also chatted with his Long Shots co-host, Matt Brown, in hour number one. Spencer Aguiar in our second hour looking at this event at Augusta National. Plus a little bit of NBA with Justin Fensterman and more. Go back and check out the show wherever you get your podcast. With that, it's now time to start looking ahead as we have got a great day of betting on a Thursday. And I want to begin with Major League Baseball, and I'll even have some NFL draft for you as I placed a few bets in that market earlier today. So as far as baseball is concerned, it's a pretty short slate here. And we will begin with the Reds. Early game, day game, Rhett Lauder taking on Max Meyer. And Rhett Lauder is a guy that has a pretty good upside as an arm. And Max Meyer has huge, huge strikeout potential. But I don't know if I trust him in this spot. Early in the year, I think it's worth it. If you think a team really has a good matchup and you like a pitcher, it's worth looking at them as an underdog. When some of these large sample size things aren't coming home, I think Rhett Lauder might be as good, if not better, than Max Meyer when the year is said and done. Meyer last year against Cincinnati was awesome. Let's keep that in mind. Six innings, five hits, zero earned runs, 14 strikeouts. But in 2024, six earned runs in four innings. Cincinnati hitters a combined 357 with an OPS over 1,000 in 28 at-bats against him. So I'm just going to take a flyer on Rhett Lauder, who's off to a pretty good start to begin his season. Six innings, three hits, shutout baseball against Texas on the road, and then against the Red Sox. He had five innings and two earned runs allowed. Give me Cincy, plus 110 at Miami. Next play we'll look at here is I'm back in the Mets, minus 160 against the Diamondbacks. New York's got some guys who can hit lefties, and we'll get to them in our Dustin's Daily Dinger here. But Nolan McClain on the hill, I think that's a huge advantage over Rodriguez. And Rodriguez isn't the same pitcher that he's been in the past, and he's not been very good against the Mets. A 6.23 lifetime ERA in four starts, just a 1.246 whip for him, six walks in 21 and two-thirds innings and 20 strikeouts. I like the Mets with the better pitcher, and I think their offense will smack around Eduardo Rodriguez. Royals and White Sox, I'm going to break a fundamental rule of gambling. I'm going to bet on the home team on the run line. Why don't you do that? Well, you don't have that extra at bat if Chicago cuts it to a one-run game late, but I don't care. I think Kansas City at home is going to absolutely obliterate Anthony Kay. He's a lefty. He doesn't have dominant stuff. And Kansas City went out and added guys like Starling Marte, like Lane Thomas, who are notorious lefty killers. The ball's jumping out of Kauffman early in the year. I think this is a spot where it does it against a pitcher that doesn't have great stuff. And I like Seth Lugo on the hill. He's awesome against Chicago in his career. 2.31 ERA a year ago in 11 and two-thirds innings. And he's off to a pretty good start this season. Give me Kansas City minus 1.5 at plus 115. And that will do it for the baseball sides and totals. What we're going to do here is the Dustin Daily Dinger. I have five home run bets I'm looking at here. Now, I keep stretching this out. I might have to tail this down to three per day. But we're still up three units on the year since we started doing this. So I'm going to go with two Mets players. As I mentioned, I don't trust Eduardo Rodriguez. Let's go Lindor and Vientos, both plus 470 to hit a homer. They both have great numbers against lefties. Vientos is slashing like 600 right now against southpaws to start the year. I'll play him while he's hot, plus 470 on Lindor and Vientos against Rodriguez. I'm also going to back Detroit's Kevin McGonigal against Mick Abel. McGonigal's barreling the ball well. He's putting the ball in play. He hasn't hit his first home run yet. Abel's basically a triple-A pitcher, and McGonigal smashed triple-A pitching. Let's go with that. And then our bomb play of the day is Lane Thomas, a guy who's like a 280-plus hitter against lefties on his career, facing Anthony Kay at home. Give me Lane Thomas, plus 610 to go yard against him. So I'll do four plays instead of five. The last one I was considering was Randall Grichuk at plus 520 for the Yankees, but we'll just keep it at four right now. As far as the Masters is concerned, here are the official plays. We are going to be on Cam Young at 20-1. He's the number three player in the world. Six major top tens in 4 years. He won the Players. The last two players to win the Players, Scheffler and Rory. They won the Masters that same year. Give me Cam Young at 20-1. I also took Young plus 150 top 10 to get a little plus price on him to finish in the top 10 in this event. I'm also on Xander Schauffele, 13-1. Very consistent at Augusta. He's building towards a big win. Injured a year ago. Five top five finishes in his last seven Masters. Third at the Players. Fourth at the Valspar. He is playing very solid golf here. I also bet Schauffele plus $1.40 to finish in the top 10 this week. Give me Ludvig Åberg, elite ball striker, at 17-1. Meltdown last year, but I think he's a young guy who's going to get better. Number one in strokes gained at Augusta National, average per round. He has experience at the course. I love Ludvig here at the price of 17-1. He was the first golfer that I bet to win this thing outright. I'm also backing Patrick Reed at 35-1. Number one in stroke gains approach, average per round. He's been playing on the DP World Tour. He won twice this year. He also won the 2018 Masters, finished top four in two of the last 3 years, and he knows how to navigate Augusta, not just physically, but mentally. 35-1 to win outright. Plus 220 to go top 10. That's what I like on Patrick Reed, and I also like him -105 for a top 20 showing for the former winner. I'm also on Russell Henley, 55-1, a good iron hitter. Fourth in very accurate with his short irons. Fourth in bogey avoidance. Not a ton of distance, but I like that his irons are going to be in play here because that is crucial if you're going to contend at Augusta. I'm also on Akshay Bhatia, 65-1 outright. He's a young lefty. Lefties seem to do well at Augusta National. He's won recently. He's got a ton of upside. So I took a little flyer on him, +150 to finish in the top 20 as well. On the suggestion of Patrick Maher, when I was on with him on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, he said Justin Rose might be a good long shot play. So I took Rose +240 top 10, and I agree with him there. I also took a little even money on Rose to go in the top 20 with his track record at Augusta National. And that pretty much does it for my plays in the top 10, top 20, and outright at Augusta National. That then leaves us the NFL draft, where I did finally place a few wagers here as we get set for this thing to get going. So, in case you missed it, the number two market for the draft has been on the move here. As Arvel Reese out of Ohio State was a huge favorite not that long ago, he's now down to -170. David Bailey, I got earlier today out of Texas Tech at +175 to go number two overall. I heard a podcast where Daniel Jeremiah kind of said the things I was thinking already, and we've discussed on the show, is that Arvel Reese is a tweener. We don't know what he is. We've never seen him be just an edge rusher at any level. If he is Micah Parsons, you don't know if that's going to translate. That's an idea. That's a concept. But you could get him in camp and find out he's really just a traditional linebacker that's super athletic. You can't take a linebacker number two overall, especially if you're the Jets. You need a premium position. You need an edge. You need a left tackle. And there really isn't a left tackle in this draft. So because of that, I think David Bailey winds up being the de facto number two overall pick. I took him at +175. It's 165 at DraftKings. I like that. And I do like Reuben Bain at 17-1. It's just his short arms are going to limit his potential of going that high in the draft. Even though I think Bain might be better than Bailey, Bailey is the guy the scouts are projecting to be better. So I think at number two, you take a premium spot. You take David Bailey. I like him +175 there. Now, some news coming out about a Miami offensive lineman, Francis Maoinoga. He was anticipated to be the number one offensive lineman in the draft. He still very well might be. He's -$3 to do so. But he's going to get looked at on Friday. He has decided to be at the combine rechecks on Friday so he can go through additional imaging on a minor back issue. And we'll see what that means for this market. But on the chance, if this back issue is something that concerns NFL front offices, I took a flyer on Caden Proctor out of Alabama to go 12-1. Now, who is the best offensive lineman in this class? It's Ione, if that's how you say it, the Penn State offensive guard. But you can't take a guard high. Guards should not be the first one selected in the class. Outside of Quentin Nelson, it very rarely works out. And I do think the kid from Penn State could be Quentin Nelson, so I wouldn't hate the idea. It's just I don't think the teams are going to do it. So guys like Spencer Fanoh from Utah at 5-1, Monroe Freeling out of Georgia at 550 makes sense. But Caden Proctor, I don't understand why he's priced so large, 12-1. He's a stud. I saw comparisons to Hall of Famers during some scouting reports leading into this thing. So I took a flyer on him at, I think it was actually 18-1. It's 12-1 at DraftKings, but I went 18-1 on him to be the first offensive lineman taken on a long shot play. So we'll start adding more NFL draft as we get closer to that event. That is my favorite event of the year. And we'll see if some of these numbers can move in our favor between now and then. I hope you're all ready. It's a great stretch of sports. You got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday at Augusta for the Masters. It doesn't get too much better than that, and we've got you covered every day. Remember, we're live all day long, which means as these rounds are going on, we'll have people on with live betting strategies so we can adjust as these numbers move throughout the entire Masters. It gets started at 7 a.m. Eastern time. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis have you covered on VSiN by the books. They then hand the baton off to Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin on a numbers game. They're followed by Prop Points at 1 p.m. Eastern time with Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen. I have never hit a golf bet in my life, so I'll warn you before you tail me on my plays, maybe this is the time. Xander Schauffele, that's the one that I think gets home for us to win the Masters this year. Stay with VSiN all day long for Masters coverage. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. We'll see you next time.